Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space. This is episode 218, recorded on January 28th, 2022, where John and Jason review the Microsoft Power BI 2022 Release Wave 1 plan that covers the roadmap from April to September of 2022.
Jason, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Hey, buddy. Welcome back up. I know you were underwater for a while there, literally.
I was, quite literally, down swimming with the sharks again. That was fun.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded. I feel like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands, you know? It's been a little bit because we kind of decided to take a tiny bit of a hiatus. There was... You know, no news happening for a bit. And then, you know, on top of that, you went underwater and you know, my kids got COVID and
that's fun.
You know, so it's been a minute. But, you know, since the team takes some time and we don't ever get a drop in January, we decided to take a beat and make sure that if we're coming at you, we're coming at you with good stuff. And happily, we are. So today's going to be really great. We've got a couple of things that we're going to talk through. But, you know, John, it's been rather wintry around here.
Been wintry here, that's for sure.
And I went to Florida.
Yeah, so did I.
Last weekend, I know. But you were underwater while all of it was happening. It was cold and nasty in Florida.
Was it?
Yeah.
In Jacksonville? Yeah.
I was up there. Got to go hang out with some friends and do some family stuff up that way. But it was good to just get away. But I tried to go run on the beach, and that was not the day for it.
Not happening? No.
So I ran to the beach, took a picture, and then ran back to my hotel. It was pretty funny.
I was actually in the water between Florida and Bahamas, closer to the Bahamas, and so buzzing around there. And it was we got blown out for 2 days of the week, so we didn't get to go diving then. But the rest of it was pretty good. Got to see a SpaceX launch from the water, like it goes right up over top of you, right?
Oh wow, that's awesome!
Pretty cool. It was pretty cool at night, right?
Did you get any good pictures of that one?
No, I wasn't. Well, first of all, I had a 16 to 35 lens, so that wasn't going to cut it.
Not so much, no.
No, but I saw it. It was pretty neat because you see the launch, it goes up, and you see the rocket arc as it goes up. You see the first stage separate, and then it goes quiet, goes dark. And then if you look about 5 minutes later, if you look over toward the Bahamas, you'll see the first stage come down and land on the street. You don't see the drone ship or anything, but you just see it light up to do its landing. It's pretty
neat. Really cool.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by tyGraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using tyGraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try tyGraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tyGraph.com.
That's all good stuff. It's a brand new year for us. We have not recorded this year. So happy 2022, John. I know you and I have talked plenty in this time, but yeah, you know, lots of good stuff happening. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is that the Power Platform, including Power BI, and we're going to specifically talk about Power BI, 2022 Release Wave 1 plan. Yeah. I always mess up this name because it's kind of long, has been released. And this is where Microsoft prescribes to us what they're going to deliver to us in very vague and general terms.
Pretty much, yeah.
What they're going to deliver, what's on the roadmap for this year, for this next wave.
Between now and, I guess it's September-ish, right?
Yes, that is correct.
October time frame.
This is April 2022 through September 2022. So it's not active yet.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's what's coming.
And they don't restrict themselves to this, but this is kind of what they're putting out there as their goals for the year. So it's a very useful document and worth looking at and oft ignored, I think. I think a lot of people miss it.
Yeah.
Just looking at the monthlies.
So a couple of things worthy of note. There is a Power BI app out there. I don't remember which Alex put it out. Whether it's Alex Powers or, you know, there are several Alexes in the Power BI space that put out a Power BI app for the roadmap, right? And it did not include, as of the release of this, this wave. So I don't know if that's an update that's coming or what, but it includes through March. So that I like looking at that one. It's got a lot of good links to it. So if you're looking for it, I think we'll look at putting that in the show notes. So the app itself is called the Power BI Release Plan. And if you go into AppSource, you can add it directly into your tenant. And it's really cool. It gives you some really good information. And it only takes a few minutes to load up, but you do have to go and refresh it, which is kind of fun. This, I fully expect before too long, will be including this wave two. I have not checked it in a couple of days. I checked it the day of because I was like, ooh, is this another way of taking a look at it?
Yeah. If it's published the way I think it's being published out there, it probably takes at least a day to get it certified, get the new version of the app, because it'll be using the sample data feature. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Every time you republish.
Click on the button that says connect your data, right?
Yeah. I doubt you need to connect your data. Well, maybe you do. I haven't used it.
You do, but it's as anonymous.
Yeah. So okay. I see. So that's how it's being done.
All right. So it's going fair off enough. And it does the refresh for you. But it's really cool. Like right now, it goes through March of 2022 in the sample data, to your point. But when you connect, I'm wondering exactly how it's being done. But there's a link here that you can go to that's linked. It's called, it's an aka.ms/PBI release plan. Mm-hmm. Right. And the last refresh as of the one I looked at was on 12/16 of 2021. That's when they did the refresh of the app itself. Right.
Gotcha.
But again, you should be able to connect up to the data and just do the pull in. But it's really cool. It gives you a listing of by month what the features are that there are on the roadmap. And there's a link to the feature detail for each one under public preview, general availability, or whether it's been released. So it's just another good way for you to be able to get out there and take a look. So highly recommend this particular app for you to be able to get to this information. So the other thing worthy of note before we dive in here, John, you and I were chatting about this and we did not know this until...
Well, it's news to us, I suppose. Yeah. It's not necessarily news, but...
It was a fun one. And the reason why it's fun is because we get to do a Today I Learned. And it's almost 2 months old. The update.
Well,
they
snuck it out there.
Yep. Yeah. The update to this article was done on November 29th, 2021.
Yeah. And it turns out Power BI Goals is now a pro feature, not a premium feature. And it was a premium feature. We've been telling people it's a premium feature. It isn't anymore. And there was no. They made no ballyhoo about it. There was no announcement. I think they just updated the blog post or the information about goals. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And but if you look at there have been posts about goals since, and there's been no mention.
Yeah. 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 If you look at the post that describes goals, it quite clearly says it's a Power BI Pro feature now. So this is great news.
Yeah. So here's something fun. I was doing a bunch of stuff at the beginning of January and I sort of slowed. I've got a bunch of YouTube videos I'm trying to create and get out there. And one of the tests that I did for creating a premium per user workspace
was using goals.
To validate. It's like, hey, this doesn't work, or it does. Like that was kind of fun. So
interesting.
So my tests were invalidated by this learning today.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to know one way or another, right?
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and dive in. And John, we may have to break this thing into two parts because there's a lot of content here and we're going to dive into some of it. So let's see how far we get to, because obviously we've already talked for 10 minutes and just on two topics so far. And, let's see how we get to. But so let's talk about the structure this time around, because it's slightly different than the previous time around, which was very different than previous time around.
Yeah.
And so if you've been looking at the release wave plans as they've been for the past couple of years, you would have noticed that in previous times it was, by creator, it had been desktop service for a while. The last time around, it was embedded, then premium, and then pro.
Yeah.
This time it's just premium and pro. And there's some absence around embedded, and maybe that's why. Maybe it's meant to be there if there's news that they're looking to put out. But as of right now, the only things that we have it broken down in premium and then pro.
Yeah, and it's quite pro heavy.
Yeah.
Which is great actually, because that, you know, that impacts more people, obviously. We don't want features to be in premium only, because that, you know, restricts the audience. So
in pro,
we know why they are, but
pro is the dominant space these days. And you know, I'll do a little tea leaves reading as well, John, into this. Ooh, and tell me if you disagree, because we did not talk about this ahead of time. No. How much of this do you think is them, like, number one, not seeding, but farming, right? Like, they have people with the pro license. How do we get more people to utilize it? And looking at what we're seeing, that I believe in that, but also not adding more into premium right now, but instead focusing more in the Synapse space.
Yeah, I suspect that's right. I mean, I think Synapse, you don't see anything around Synapse in this release plan. It's a different product group. So, right, you know. But you might see references to it, and you don't. And I think the details on that are still being fleshed out, right? We may see more. But yeah, some things may be getting held back in the premium space. No, for the who knows?
Yeah, that's the tea leaves I'm reading here, without any knowledge on the from insiders and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This is just as I'm looking at it, like saying, hey, there are five things in the premium space, two of which are dates or month for when they're going to release Power BI Report Server. So really, there are three things that they've got listed here.
That's right.
For a 6 month span.
Yeah. It would seem a little light.
And
I expect we'll see more announcements, by the way, over the next the few months.
I completely agree with you. Sure. This is a living document, after all.
Yeah, like,
there will be things that get added to this, et cetera. But of the three things, let's pare it down.
We already know about two of them.
Two of them are going generally available.
Yeah.
And going like what we would refer to as feature complete, I think. And one of them is a net new thing, but feels like it's something that's aligned with what we've already seen.
Yeah, that's right. It's evolutionary, not revolutionary. Yeah.
So let's talk. Let's stop talking around it. Let's talk to it. So the first one here, which is a new public preview feature, which will hit in April of 2022, according to this, is data protection enhancements highlighting centralized Power BI DLP policies.
Yeah, and specifically what they're talking about, what's new, is that they're going to make it possible to define DLP policies to prevent the upload of sensitive data to Power BI based on conditions. So, okay. And they're going to support the auto classification of data. So to be able to determine, you know, what if this data might be sensitive or not. And I assume it's using similar rules to things like, we notice you've got social security numbers and things like that. I don't know. But these are the net new. There's a whole bunch of stuff of what they've already done, but this is a roadmap document. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not all that interested in it. So those are the two new things.
So as I look at it, this feels very much like it's the data loss prevention team at Microsoft has been very laser focused in on SharePoint, OneDrive, all of the Office, you know, layers of world, right? And then they moved over and they've been very laser focused in Dynamics as well, in Dataverse and all of that. And now I think we're starting to see that they're going to get laser focused on the Power BI side, because they've taken care of the other pieces. Where is data coming from in the Microsoft cloud space, right? But now, rather than just looking at those, how do we prevent if people are coming in from an Excel file on their local machine, if they're doing other things, how do we prevent that? Because they've handled, let's call it a 70% marker, right? Mm-hmm. By dealing with it in the Microsoft 365 and the Dynamics 365 space. Now it's, okay, if you're bringing it in differently, how are we doing that?
That's right. Exactly right. Yep.
That's why I say this doesn't feel net new to me, even though it is. It feels like, and it's because of our relationship with Microsoft 365 and the fact that we live in the world all the time too. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see how quickly this gets implemented. Because it's already been done elsewhere.
Yes.
This feels like, okay, we can get going real fast on it. And we're going to see this come to public preview in April. I mean, that's the first one right out of the gates, right? That's the first one.
Far away. That's right.
And it, it wouldn't surprise me if this got pulled in a little bit with all the DLP work that has been going on for the past year in Power BI and how it's flowed through and sensitivity labels and all of those other things. It's laid the groundwork for this. So
yep.
With that said, I'm excited to see this complete that story, that protection story.
Yeah. And it's fit and finish and consistency across the platform and all of those good things. So yes. It's obviously welcome. The next two items, I almost want to take them as a single unit, are GA announcements of things that we already have now in preview. I don't want to undersell them. These two are both massively important features, in my opinion. So we're talking about automatic aggregations and hybrid tables. They're two different things. They're kind of related. Automatic aggregations is when you've got a report that's direct query connected back to a data source. Turn on automatic aggregations and the service will say, oh, you seem to be doing these queries an awful lot. Why don't we aggregate that data here for you in the service and serve that up so it performs a whole lot better and has less of an impact on your backend system. That's a wonderful feature. And hybrid tables, I literally just got this working for myself yesterday. Nice. So I was pretty happy about this. Hybrid tables are like the coolest thing. You can get real-time access to your data, but still get all the value of having that data set with all of your pre-cached queries, et cetera, et cetera. It's like magic to me. But basically, you use incremental refresh. So you have an archive of your data. You continue to refresh data in chunks of time. Mm-hmm. And then for all of the data that is in your source system that has been updated since you last refreshed in the service, you get direct query to that. And it all kind of happens automatically and seamlessly behind the scenes. And it does work. I can say it does work. Anyway, both of these features are going live in 2022. Automatic aggregations in May of 22, as well as hybrid tables.
Yeah. So with that said, there's going to be a May release and a September release of Power BI Report Server. As we know, these are the things that, what comes to the cloud, they try and shim back down to on-prem for those folks that are still doing Power BI Report Server for on-premises type things. But that's all there really is to talk about with premium. So we got through that pretty quick, John. Maybe we don't need two episodes for this
one. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. There's a lot of great stuff here in the pro space, though, man.
It really is.
I'm really excited. And there's a thread that weaves through a bunch of them.
Yeah.
That is really interesting to me. It's about the creator story.
Yep.
And the focus on, to your point, fit and finish. We continue to see that happening and just the making things easier for people and, casting that net, trying to get more folks, especially from, as I look at it, coming over from the M365 world, that SharePoint and OneDrive and Office world, how do they get more folks to come over from that? So we saw some of that here in the second half of 2021 with Quick Create and all of these other things, but there's more here. So, and to that point, the first one here into the pro space is create reports in Power BI service with new data sources. Again, Power BI service with new data sources. And this will go preview in April of 2022.
Yeah, this one's interesting. And reading through, trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. We're talking about the new create page. And we got the ability to copy and paste data in fairly recently. We've always been able to pull data out of, say, SharePoint and create these basic tables from Excel and from CSV. And it looks like we'll continue to do this. This is essentially in a new UI, add data to get started. The description here mentions common file data sources such as Excel, CSV, and SharePoint, as well as from popular online services and databases. Now, Excel and CSV, we've already had. The SharePoint mention, and my first reaction was, oh, they're bringing that quick create SharePoint list data feature into here. I don't think that's what this is because it does state from common file data sources. So I think we're talking here about Excel, CSV, PDF files that are stored in SharePoint libraries, which is kind of what we can do today. So the important part to zero in here is, as well as from popular online services and databases. And I think that's where things are going to be particularly interesting. I don't know if you read this the same way.
Yeah, I read it exactly the same way. This, because the default reaction would be, oh, SharePoint lists. Yay, I can start to pull from SharePoint. No,
I don't think that's what this is.
think that's what this is. And again, as we said before, at the very beginning, there's a bunch of vagary here, right? Yeah. And whether it's
like, a good word.
I feel like that one. that's my made up word for the day. It's intentionally left ambiguous because, you know, it's a roadmap document. And they're talking about something that is potentially 8 months out in this document, because this goes through September of 2022 and they released this in January. So 8 months to the end of this, you got to be a little bit vague, but you know, just, I agree with you, John, this to me does not feel like SharePoint lists. This feels like common file sources is the wording that's used here in and SharePoint. That's it, file sources. Common file data sources.
Yeah,
the word file right there tells me.
Yeah,
document library pulling documents. So
I hope we're getting closer to the place where it's quite obvious in, say, Power BI Desktop that your Excel file or your CSV file is stored in SharePoint. Like right now, we have to tell people to use the SharePoint folder data source if they're going to go and get that stuff if they want to refresh. I want that to be more obvious. Pick Excel, say, oh, is this stored in SharePoint, for example? That I hope we're getting closer to that, but I'm veering off. The next item here, I can't really make any kind of specific detail from. I can't get any detail from it. New and enhanced Power BI experiences in Teams. In preview in April, but there's really no specific here that isn't something we already have, as far as I can tell.
So there's a couple of things just reading between the lines here a little bit. So I'm going to read a line here as part of this. It's the last line in, under the feature details. To enhance this experience and make data and insights even more accessible to Teams, Power BI is improving how Power BI content is added to Teams channels to support all Power BI content types, as well as enabling multitasking support for Power BI personal app in Teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are a couple of things. Paginated reports, goals, or you know, things that paginated reports.
Goals, right?
Yeah.
Right. So as opposed to a report. Yeah. Yep. Dashboards, maybe.
Yeah. That would be exactly what I'm thinking, is making it so that all of, you know, of the things that show up there actually will show up in the personal app in Teams. And multitasking support, my question to that is, today, does it lose context when you switch out of the tab? Is this maybe a persistence thing? So I'm curious, also looking at the way this is, the UI is, it's rounded at the top. I'm just reading a little too much into it.
Yes,
but there's,
fair enough.
And pages on the left, you know, from a navigation perspective and stuff like that. Just it's a little different than how I usually see things today.
Yeah,
you know, pages shows up at the bottom, at least in the reports that I have going. So it's a little bit of a different navigational style as well. So again, reading way too much into an image potentially, but that's my thought on it.
I'll be happy if it just can, you know, render the report I'm embedding in my chat message before I have to hit send on my chat, so I know where it sits. And anyway,
that would be cool.
But I digress.
All right. So the next one here is quick measures using natural language, and I know you're jazzed about this. I'm starting to get more on board with it. I've always been skeptical of natural language queries. You know this, for anybody who's ever come to our workshop or our sessions knows, because I don't believe that I speak in natural language. I have an abnormal speech pattern probably, but every time I try and type something in, it comes back with a bunch of red and it doesn't like me very much. It works really well for you, but so I think... And I think it works really well for non-English as their first language type of speakers. But I'll be very interested to see how this works. But if it does work for folks, this will be really great because it suggests the DAX for you.
Yeah, well, quick measures, right? The quick measures feature right now is a bunch of prescribed things year over year, et cetera, et cetera. You may not know DAX, but you want that analysis. You can pick one of those. Mm-hmm. Now you can describe what you want and it's going to try and figure out DAX for you. Yeah, exactly. And if it gets it right, I mean, I think it's got value just for the casual user period right there.
Yep.
I think it's interesting for someone who's learning DAX.
Absolutely.
Right, you can see what it comes out with. If I wanted to say, show me the total of this for last year, what DAX does that write for me? And I can look at that and I can actually get a handle on, maybe I can modify it from there on in, obviously, but
yeah,
but it might give me a good starting point. I think that's incredibly valuable.
Yeah, I do love the way that this is laid out in the image. You type in your suggestion, you know, what you're asking, the question you're trying to ask, and it shows you a preview of the answer and then what the DAX is underneath it. So if you like the answer, you can basically either, there's an add button in the image here, but you can copy it and move that in and go create your own however you want to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about the prospect of it. I will be even more excited by the implementation. Again, this is an April 2022 feature, so we should
see it
coming pretty soon.
April's looking like a pretty big month for the desktop drop. And you brought up an interesting question about this too. This is part of Quick Measures. Quick Measures today is in desktop. Maybe this is something we get to see in the service at some point.
Yeah, be pretty cool.
Would be.
I'm really interested because it, again, the vagary of this being such that they didn't call out desktop.
Right.
When you and I were talking about the image, it's like, well, it's the UI. But it's the same UI between the service and the desktop.
So, yeah,
you
know, pretty much like, at that level.
I'll be interested. We know that there's a goal of, you know, Power Query Online. It's been stated, right? This
DAX, though,
feels like it fits into a web UI version of Power BI Desktop, which also has been stated that there is their
goal. We know we're going that direction.
Yeah, so, you know, this to me, and you and I have a dollar bet on this, I feel like this will be a okay, so I owe you a dollar if I'm wrong, basically, was what it was. You didn't actually agree to it. To me, this, I feel like, is one of those first things that comes in.
Yeah, it may very well be. I don't know if that'll happen in April, but it may very well be.
No, I agree with you. But when it does come, I think that this will be one of those first things that actually does show up. So the next one here, also in April 2022, is Power BI Dataset Hub Enhancements. And, you know, again, this is something that's been out there for a while. I'm a huge fan of. But there's some interesting stuff towards the bottom of it, which talks about enabling users to easily publish their data to Power BI and share further with their teams directly from Excel, SharePoint Online, and others.
Yeah, I think this is the ability to create new data sets, I think is what that's referring to. And we're going to be able, we'll talk about that here in a second, so I don't want to stomp all over it, but the ability to do that directly from Excel, and I think from SharePoint Online. I believe the SharePoint Online in this context will be content like Excel, content like CSV that is stored in SharePoint Online. Again, I don't think this is going to have to do with any with lists specifically, but to jump to the next one. A couple of things that are going to be added to the Dataset Hub. And I like the Dataset Hub. I think the Dataset Hub is quickly becoming the place to go within the service. The ability to find data by searching both on the dataset name now and also table names within the dataset. That's not something we've had before.
So
that gets interesting. Yeah. And then the ability to create datasets right in the Data Hub as well, which makes sense, right? Yep. You probably should from those same sources that we can create datasets. And remember, we're creating datasets, right? We're not editing them. We still don't have that ability in the service, but we can create them from, you know, things that have tables as structure like CSV or like Excel. So that's it's a good thing. It's a step along the way. So we can create the data sets. We can't necessarily edit them.
So there's a couple here that I'm really excited about. One is lineage view and impact analysis for selected data sets, right? So you select on it because today you don't get lineage view in the dataset hub. To me, that's really important. And impact, you know, I'm calling it impact analysis.
Yeah.
So, and then the other ones here, view a dataset schema and quickly create a report on top of a selected table, right? That's kind of a cool thing. And lastly, view the dataset refresh history, failure reason, and trigger a new refresh right from the dataset hub. That's huge.
Yep. So all of those things in the hub. So I love the dataset hub. We're focusing on data, which is kind of the way it should be.
Absolutely.
Are you drowning in spreadsheets? Are you gasping for a better reporting solution? Let Marquee Insights throw you a lifeline. They can help you chart a course to success with Power BI, then get underway quickly with one of their quick start solutions while learning the ropes from their experienced staff. If you're ready for reporting bliss, go to marqueeinsights.com and click the Get Started button and learn how they can help you make better, faster decisions with smarter data.
John, we're running a little long today, but you know, let's just power through. Let's not split this into two. Let's give everybody, you know, we sort of teased at the beginning. Let's just power on.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
The next one here is contextual on-object interaction with Power BI visuals. And this feels Excel-like.
It's a big, big usability deal. The team has decided that people like the way they can work with, say, a chart in Excel. You look at the chart, you want to change something, you click on that thing that you want to change, and you edit it. That's not how it works in Power BI, right? You select the visual, then you go over to the right and try and find where that thing is within the properties pane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm used to that, right? It's fine. But I get the point. You know, people want to click on things and make those changes right there. Things like the title, for example, of a visual. You want to change, you don't want to have to go in and find out this tab down here to change the title. So that's the sort of capability that's going to be coming. Not a lot of details on this. Basically, we want to be able to do this sort of thing. And we're going to first start to see it in May of 2022. Yeah.
So this one I'm excited about because this, you know, speaks to the Excel user.
It does.
It's very Excel-like. It's that, hey, I want to right-click, go to properties of my visual, and just make a couple modifications. Give me a couple of options. And that's how they interact with that today. They don't want to go to the ribbon in Excel. Like, when I watch my users do interactions like this, they always, it's how do I move my wrist least?
Yes.
You know, it's shortest distance between two points. Right-click is my fastest option. Get me the options I like. The fact that I still go to Format Painter in the ribbon baffles people sometimes when I'm just in PowerPoint or Word. Like, it's on the right-click menu. It's on the hover menu, for God's sake. Yeah. Like, this feels like that on object interactions. That's exactly where things are heading. So it's a good thing. The next one here is Power BI integration in Outlook and Office Hub. And John, we could talk about this, like the reading tea leaves on this just alone for like an hour.
It's a can of worms. Well, a potential can of worms. Let's put it that way. I love it, by the way. So the feature details, essentially, Power BI will be fully integrating with Outlook and the Office Hub. This includes integrating the entire Power BI personal app. And here's the big one, opening Power BI reports attached to emails directly in the context of Outlook and the ability to easily find Power BI adaptive cards to emails. Okay, great. The adaptive cards we've seen in Teams already, that makes complete sense. But this thing about opening Power BI reports directly attached to emails, that's a big deal because right now you can't rent. This also pertains to an item we're going to talk about, which has to do with opening files in OneDrive, et cetera, et cetera. But today, when you click on a PBIX file in an email, you're prompted to download the PBIX file, right?
Yes.
So this is going to now render that report.
So a couple of things to note here. Number one, it does require you to download it, the PBIX file. Number two, in order to open it, you have to have Power BI Desktop installed.
Right, today, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So at that point, you're multi-step to deal with it. But this is talking specifically, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, this is cool. We're just going to be able to visualize the Power BI report that's
online, right? I'm sure we're talking about Outlook online. Yeah.
Correct. But the keyword here is attached. And when you say attached, it's not in the service. We're talking about, like you just said, a PBIX file or an RDL file, potentially.
Potentially, why not? That's a Power BI file, yep.
You know, and I don't know if there's no goals file for because it's only online, right?
No.
But you know, what happens when there are other ones? But this is unlocking a viewer.
Yes.
And you have to imagine, because it's talking about Outlook and the Office Hub, which means not just Outlook online, but Outlook on your desktop as well.
Well, you would think so. Yeah.
They say Outlook. They don't say Outlook on the web.
So how's that going to fly, right? How's that going to render? I don't know.
To your point earlier, does it make it something you can interact with?
Right. So the renderer today, when you rent, basically subscribe to a Power BI report, it's you get an image. You can get it as a PDF, but ultimately it's a bitmap of your report. And that's one thing. Okay. So, and that's fine if that's how it works. But if it is actually a report that you can interact with, is this a way around licensing? And yeah, I got to wonder, because people will fire around PBIX files today as a way around licensing, right? I'll send you a PBIX. It's absolutely not the right way to do things, but it does happen. And you know, everybody has a copy of Power BI Desktop. It's terrible. You might as well just use Excel with the embedded data sets, but whatever. That happens.
Yeah.
Now, it seems that this could make that easier. And I'm sure there's got to be something around that that we don't know about, but it really is a can of worms from a licensing standpoint.
I can't imagine that they would have gotten to this point without an answer to that question.
No. There's got to be. So, we got to find that out. Yeah, well, I'm
going to be really curious. Again, the vagaries here are intentional. We don't have a clue. But we also know that what we're going to get to it here in a few minutes. There's other stuff coming that makes things really interesting. So all of that said, this is something that John and I are going to be watching really closely, and you probably should too.
Yeah.
So the next one here is quickly create a Power BI dataset or report from a table of data Excel.
So yeah, I was talking before about the quick create feature, and you can in the service connect to Excel and CSV data that's stored in SharePoint, et cetera, et cetera. This is going the other way around. This is having a table open in Excel, now pushing that into a data set in Power BI. This also creates another big can of worms, if you ask me. Now, this is obviously going to be that simple thing where it just takes your table and it just creates a simple data set in the Power BI service. And essentially connects your Excel to that data set so that you can interact with it. But we have data sets in Excel today, right? It's called Power Pivot. This is not that. And with Power Pivot, you have a data set editor where you can go and create quick measures, et cetera, et cetera. And you can upload those files. I think this could be confusing if they're not really, really careful. This is different. I get the point of it. But how it's positioned, and then we'll go back. I wrote a blog post a year and a half ago about, is it time to stop using Power Pivot? This is another, nail in that coffin if that's the case.
So, John, I've done a bunch of thinking on this since we started talking about it, and I'm going to disagree with you.
Ooh, okay.
All right. So the way that I view this is I'm working in Excel, and I'm working with my data, and I've got 30 analysts who are all pushing, working through data in this, in their own Excel files.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we're working in it, and we don't care about the roll-up reporting.
Right.
Okay? We're working in our own file. Let's take my work, for example. I'm working on, on data for a client, and I'm working for a portfolio company, and I'm dealing with 5 different entities in the portfolio company, and there's another 5 people who are working on other entities, right? So I take my file, and it's normalized schema file that everybody's using their own, but rather than each of us having, to go into the same file and make modifications and all of that, we're each working in our own. We go in and say, we're going to push this table of data into a data set. We don't care about what the resulting reports are from that. We're just working with the data. And we're going to push that in. We actually don't have a Power BI license because we're not dealing in the reporting side of it from that. All we're doing, we're the frontline worker in this situation, and we're pushing the data into a data set that now can be grabbed by a Power BI report creator. Well, and
you're going to need a license to be able to do that.
To do the creating of the report, yes. But
the data set itself. I'll be
curious to see if you have to, because at that point,
pretty sure.
To push the data set, I'll be interested, because I'm not creating a report, John. All I'm doing is making data available to a report creator.
It's a good point, because
I'll be curious, because again, synonymous from the office side of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. So I agree with you. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just, I could see that from my worldview, from my work, that could be of a value in that situation where, we'll find out in July.
And to be very clear, I'm not saying this doesn't have value. I'm saying it has implications, right? It's got, what does this mean for Power Pivot? What does this mean from a confusion? Like when you tell users, you need to create a data set. Well, what kind? A Power BI data set or an Excel data set? Well, why would you, cue the white papers on what to use when,
Absolutely. So that's a July 2022 target for public preview. The next one here, I'm really excited about. I think you are too. View Power BI files in OneDrive and SharePoint.
It's a huge deal. This touches on the same. We talked about the Outlook and Outlook Hub earlier and the ability to render files or render PBIX files, et cetera. Yep. This, we should have almost talked about this first, because this is kind of the core issue. If I've got a PBIX file now sitting in a SharePoint library, like an Excel file, like a CSV file, and I click on it today, I have to download it. Now I'm going to be able to view it. And what does view mean, right? Is it going to render? Is it going to be interactive? All of those same things we just talked about. But this brings it really, to my mind, front and center. So from a licensing implication, right? Because this is a central place I could go and share a file. I don't have to be mailing it around and then have people access it directly. So it's going to open like as if it's Excel Online.
This calls it out specifically. In this update, users can view and edit Power BI reports within OneDrive and SharePoint without needing to download Power BI Desktop.
The edit is very interesting. Yes. Now that gets into the whole, we're replacing Power BI Desktop. What aspects of Power BI Desktop are we replacing? And what about the licensing story? And I got to think at that point, at edit, is it being connected? Is that PBIX file being connected to the service? Or is it rendering in some kind of sandbox, like the SharePoint, the quick create SharePoint list thing is? I have no idea.
Well, here's the fun, John. Let's talk about timelines for a second. We talked about the Outlook feature. That's a May feature, which you would expect is going to leverage this same feature functionality.
From a view standpoint, not an edit standpoint.
This one is releasing in July. So yes, I would have expected to see two things. One is, and the edit will come later, kind of a thing, but they would have suggested to release this in May. Maybe they'll pull it forward. Who knows?
Who knows?
Again, the vagaries of this are a lot of fun. So in the interest of time, we're going to sort of lump together. There are several accessibility features here, improved navigation, improved slicer navigation, table navigation, reflow to support 400x zoom, show visuals as tables and smart narrative descriptions. All of this is, all of these are accessibility features. The one I found interesting in just the nugget of it is show visuals as tables.
Yeah.
This is all visuals on a page, not just an individual visual. That's an interesting, there's an export question I have
because we can do
this
that.
One.
Yeah, because we can do that today, but it's one visual at a time. And this is going to be the ability to do them all at once.
Yeah. So the next one here is improved Power BI administration and operations. And John, you were talking about this was a bunch of API reports and stuff like that.
It's good. We've been seeing
API more and more. Reporting. I said it wrong. API and reporting.
No, it's just this one's just APIs. So we've been seeing a lot more administrative capabilities through APIs with the scan API, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a couple more coming targeted for general availability in September. The ability to use APIs to identify unused assets, good. And to the ability to reassign permissions for assets, also good. That's it.
Yeah. That's what I meant by the APIs and reports is using the APIs to generate the reports.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sorry for the double misspeak there.
No worries. No worries.
Sort of like double secret probation.
The next one matters. We talked about goals earlier. Now that it's a pro feature, well, not only that, but we're going to be able to embed them in PowerPoint presentations, which we've been wanting to do that with reports that have live reports for a while. It seems reports got leapfrogged and goals are going in there first because I haven't heard anything about reports.
This one talks about, so let's just read it. Users will be able to embed and use, the use word is really important, Power BI scorecards in their presentations, allowing them to present live scorecards as a part of their presentation. Now, we've not heard Microsoft refer to goals.
That's true.
As
this
scorecards.
Is a presumption. Yep.
Who knows if, how that's going to work. We know there's another product that Microsoft purchased.
Oh, that's true.
So there's, it's vague, September 2022. Don't know exactly what this really means, but it's bringing back a feature that I loved in the Power Pivot PowerView world, which was, it was a very limited feature. You had to be on the same network segment as your backend server, right? But being able to embed PowerView in PowerPoint. Yeah. I used to use it all the time when talking to, you know, to executives in the defense world. This was huge. So this, you know, and we've been hearing requests for this for years. When are you going to bring that back? Well, this is the first step on that journey, and I'm excited by it.
Exactly. So the next one is going is potentially interesting. I'm a little bit disappointed in it, but I was looking for the raw data behind administrative, basically your Power BI usage. They're, instead of just giving you the raw data, what the team's doing is they're giving us a data set. They're going to give us a data set that will automatically be populated with all kinds of good information. This is good for most people, right? Because I can create reports from this data set that pulls data from the audit logs, from the artifacts themselves, your utilization for your premium capacities. Everything's getting put into one consistent data model. And I have to applaud this. This is definitely a good feature. My only concern is, you know, if they haven't provided a feature that one needs, what's going to be the extensibility story? But I'll wait and find out what that is.
Yeah, I'm going to play the skeptical card for just a minute, John. Haven't gotten it right yet.
That's true.
We've been begging for
stuff. We kind of have a business around this too. So
I'm going to play skeptical. However, I'm going to be excited about this one thing. Public preview is going to be in March. So this actually, and I don't know if this was all, and I'd have to go back and look if this was a part of wave two of 2021, that they're just highlighting that general availability is going to be in 2022 and adding more to it by punting it down the line just a little bit, because this is going to deliver, according to this public preview, in the current wave, not in the one that we're talking about right now. So, and I'm curious, I'll have to go back and diff the two to see, you know, which one, whether it's there or what. So I'm curious about that, and I'll have to do that later.
Okay. The next item here is improving the My Workspace governance. And I didn't know My Workspace had a governance issue, but it kind of does. I didn't realize My Workspace is still on the version one of the Workspace model. So that's going to change.
I didn't realize that one either. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I did know that you couldn't put My Workspace into a premium capacity. I couldn't see why you would, but there's a, you know, few features maybe you did want to take advantage of. If you had premium, you might want to connect your My Workspace to it, and now you're going to be able. You're going to be able to do it in preview in May, and in general availability in September. But the interesting thing is, if you do this, you're not going to be able to take it back. So be careful. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to take it back, but yeah.
Well, this is sort of like the small data size format and the large data size format, where if you flip to large and you flip it back, you can't get your PBIX downloaded anymore. Like there's a big nightmare around that today for me.
That's right. That's right.
But it could just be that they're just like, nah, we're just not even going to mess with that. Like, let's leave it be.
Exactly.
So, John, I couldn't wait. I had to go look it up right now. Uh-huh. So in the wave two of 2021, there was an enhanced administration insights on report usage and performance. It was targeted for March. It still is targeted for March. If you go back and take a look at it, the detail in the wave one of 2022, much richer. So it was very vague in the previous one, with a general availability to be determined still. But I will say it's much better. The one that we have in wave one of 2022 definitely goes into more detail, more imagery, and I think a better overall story. So.
Yep, I think it's going to be generally good for everybody.
Yeah. I'll bring this to our last
item.
One.
Yeah, chargeback reporting for Power BI premium administrators. I'm sure you're going to like that one.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this. I like the idea. It's going to allow us to, you know, carve things off in the right way based upon the reporting. You know, be able to use reports to be able to say, hey, you know,
who's using what?
You use the majority of this, so you're going to pay 60% this quarter, whatever it is, and make life a lot easier for us to be able to manage.
We'll see how it shakes out. Yes, but and that is our initial look at the Wave 1 release plan for 2022 for Power BI.
There's a lot of good stuff here. It's great to see it. Looking forward to getting some more guests on here coming up soon. I've got to reach out to some folks. So if you have a request for somebody to, you know, that you want to hear from, please hit us up on Twitter. If you have suggestions for the show, also let us know. Otherwise, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And John, it's been great chatting with you, my friend. I look forward to see you again. To next week.
That's right. All right, man. Well, you have a good one. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at Bifocal Show. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal podcasts can be found on the Bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal Podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.